So we saw last time the principle of, two principles actually. Number one, that if you use something for one mitzvah, you should use it for a second mitzvah, which we discussed at length. And then we saw the second principle, which is a very, very general principle, has many, many, many ramifications, and that is of a hefsek. Masiach das, i.e. when, for example, you make your bracha over the bread and you say, bring me salt, or feed the animals, because that is bracha related, if that's called a tzeirach habracha. And if it's a tzeirach habracha, the simplest way of understanding it is, you never took your mind off. You never took your mind off the subject at hand, because whatever you spoke about was the subject at hand. Even though, lechatchila, you're not supposed to do that either. Lechatchila, you're not supposed to talk at all between the bracha and the eating, or and the mitzvah. So if you remember, we left off with a question. We left off with a question, which is that on the second day Rosh Hashanah, the Rishonim give us an Eitzah, because we don't know whether it's Shechayanu is to have a new Beged. You say Shechayanu on that. And the big question was, that doesn't really achieve much, L'chayra. Why? Because Mimon Avshach. If Rosh Hashanah requires a Shechayanu, then I can make a Shechayanu without the Beged. And if Rosh Hashanah doesn't require Shechayanu, then what gives you the right to throw in a Shechayanu in the middle of the bracha and the mitzvah? It's a hefsek. Again, we pointed this out last time. Not that it's a bracha levatola. It's not a bracha levatola. There's nothing wrong with the bracha. Indeed, when you have a new beged, you have to make a new bracha. There's nothing wrong with the bracha. It's like, if you remember the example we said last time, if you make a shahakel over a cup of water, and before you drink it, you make a ha'etz over an apple. If you make that ha'etz over an apple, is that a bracha levatola? Absolutely not. If you eat an apple, you have to make a bracha. But what's it doing in between shahakoil and the drinking? And if you do that, you'd have to make another bracha shahakoil. But this is the big question that is discussed in the Mefarshim. Now, there is a similar discussion with many, many ramifications. With many, many ramifications. Remember discussing this in your house from Moshe Zadik once. We came to visit you after the meal on Leil Shvi'i Shel Pesach. Leil Shvi'i Shel Pesach. On Leil Shvi'i Shel Pesach, on the last night of Pesach, we know the halacha is that one does not make a bracha of Shechiyanu. Why do you not make a bracha of Shechiyanu? Because the last day of Yom Tov is not really a separate Yom Tov at all. Unlike the last day of Sukkot, where it's a completely different Yom Tov. Shmini Atzeres is a completely different Yom Tov, and therefore you make a Shechiyanu. So therefore, when a woman lights candles, or when somebody makes Kiddush, there is no bracha of Shechiyanu. So the big question is, and what happens if somebody did say Shechiyanu accidentally? He got mixed up between last day Sukkot and last day Pesach, so he made Kiddush, and he said, Boyri Pri HaGofen, then he said the Kiddush, and then the third bracha he made Shechiyanu. He's just about to drink the wine, and he thinks to himself, one moment, I've just gone and made a hefsek, because I've said Shechiyanu, and you're not supposed to, so maybe I have to make a new bracha of Boyri Pri HaGofen now. If I were, imagine, to talk before I drank the wine, I'd say, hello, how are you? Well, then definitely I have to make a new bracha Boyri Pri HaGofen. So Shechiyanu is like, hello, how are you? And remember, this is even worse. This is even worse than the examples we mentioned previously. Why is it worse? Because Shechiyanu on Shvi'i Shel Pesach is a bracha levatola. It really is a bracha levatola. Why is it a bracha levatola? Because not necessary. It's not a required bracha at all. So l'chayra, what should the halacha be? The halacha should be that if you did make Shechiyanu when you weren't supposed to, you have to make hagofen all over again. Zog, Reb Shleiman Zalman Oyebach, that no, you do not have to make hagofen again. You do not have to make hagofen again. Can anybody think of a reason why you would not have to make hagofen again? We said, if you make a Boyri Pri Ha'etz on an apple after having said Shehakol on water prior to the drinking, that's definitely a hefsek. So I would have said, our case is worse, it's not better. Our case is even worse because it's a bracha levatala. Why are you throwing in shechiyonah? There is no obligation to make shechiyonah. Yet, says Rav Shimon Zalman, no, it's better. Can anybody think of a reason? Why would it be better? Why should it be better than the case of the apple? Remember, in the case of the apple, it's not a bracha levatala. Make a bracha, bari pri oitz over an apple, there is nothing wrong with that bracha. The only problem is you did it at the wrong time. Shechiyonu on Shvi'a Shel Pesach L'Chayr is much worse. It's an absolute bracha levatala. So why would you think that case shouldn't actually be better?
Because of the distinction from the first day of Yom Tov, which is sort of Chatzi Yom Tov, but the fact that you're starting again is...
L'maisu you made a bracha levatala. L'maisu you made a bracha. If I would have spoken, if I would have said, oh hi, how are you doing? Then there's no discussion. You definitely have to make a new Bari Priya Gofen because you made a hefsek. Masiach das. No, if I said Shechiyonu, I would have thought that's also a hefsek. You made a bracha levatala. What were you throwing in a bracha levatala? Let's further strengthen the question. Imagine you made Hagofen on Shri Shal Pesach, and then you said the Kiddush Mekadish Sov Azmanim, and then all of a sudden you said Bari Priya Ho'eitz over an apple. Is that a bracha levatala?
Bracha, yeah.
No, it's not a bracha levatala. Would it be a hefsek?
Yes.
Definitely yes. Definitely yes. If you ate the apple, is it a bracha? You now have to go and make a new hagofen. So something doesn't make sense over here. If I make a bracha over the apple, and that's a perfectly fine bracha, it's not a bracha levatala, you're telling me that's a hefsek. And if I said shechiyonu, which is a bracha levatala, that's not a hefsek. Something totally paradoxical over here. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, fantastic svara. This is based on Rav Kiva Eiger, maybe a student of Rav Kiva Eiger. It's actually better. Even though it's true, you accidentally made a bracha levatala, but it's not a hefsek. Do you know why it's not a hefsek? Because, albeit that you made a mistake in thinking you have to make Shechiyonu, but according to your mistake, that's what you were supposed to do. Which means you never actually took your mind off Kiddush. Because in your mistaken understanding, you thought you have to make Shechiyonu. It happens to me, he made a terrible mistake, and in fact it's a bracha levatala. But did he at any point take his mind off Kiddush? No. If you say a Bari Priya Ho'eitz over an apple, so you took your mind off the Kiddush, you're busy with apples. Apples got nothing to do with the Kiddush. But Shechiyonu, according to his mistake, has got everything to do with Kiddush, so he never took his mind off Kiddush at all. There's no Hesach Hadas. Very simple svara. A very similar case, this is where Rav Shlomo Zalman is coming, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is coming from. It's based on Rabbi Kiva Eiger. What would be, for example, halacha is on Motzah Yom Kippur. Make Havdalah. Make Havdalah. What's the Havdalah? It's the regular Havdalah minus Besom. There's no bracha on the Besom. So what would be if somebody made a bracha on the besamim? Now again, is that a bracha levatala? It's not a bracha levatala. Why is it a bracha levatala? You're allowed to smell besamim and make a bracha. You can do it on Tuesday morning as well. It's not a bracha levatala. I would have thought Pesedim is definitely a hefsek. What are you throwing in besamim for in the middle of Abdullah? Says Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Rabbi Kveiga actually. It's not a hefsek. Why not?
Same reason.
Because it's true he made a mistake, but in the world of his mistake, he thought that was an integral part of Havdalah. So he never actually took his mind off Havdalah at all. He never took his mind off Havdalah at all. So therefore, we're really emerging with a very important principle. In order to ascertain whether or not the bracha is a hefsek or not, it does not depend on whether the bracha was a bracha levatala. It depends on a very simple and straightforward question. Did he or did he not at any moment take his mind off the subject, the matter in hand? Or in other words, was he Masiach Das? Sometimes you can have a case of a bracha levatala, but he wasn't masiach das. Sometimes you can have a bracha which is not a bracha levatala, and he was masiach das. It's nothing to do with whether it was a bracha levatala or not. It all depends on whether you took your mind off the subject in hand. And therefore, in our Gemara, if you made a bracha and then you have to say, go and feed the animals, you didn't take your mind off. Why didn't you take your mind off? Because in as much as the halacha dictates, you're supposed to deal with your animals before yourself, that's all part and parcel of the subject at hand. If you would make a bracha and then you would say, oh, let's deal with, I've got to pay the water bill, I've got to fetch something from the makolet, that's a hesach hadas. Why is he talking about water bills? Why is he talking about makolet? It has nothing to do with eating. But feeding the animals has everything to do with eating, because you can't eat until you feed the animals. Okay, as you can imagine, this is a very, 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 very big subject, because the subject of Hesach Hadas really spans all mitzvahs. For every single mitzvah, you've got to think of lots of different examples in all different directions. Okay, let's go into the top Tosfos. If you remember, Rav told us that if you say bring salt or bring lifton, then you've got to make another bracha, and that constitutes a hefsek. But Rabbi Yochanan said it doesn't. It doesn't. Why doesn't it? So we understood, because, as Rashi says, it's l'tzairech the bracha. Why is it l'tzairech a bracha? Because as the Gemara stated on afterwards, when you make a bracha on bread, you're supposed to dip it into salt. Therefore, he didn't talk about unrelated matters. Zoktosis. Hove melach tzorich levarech. This is the first opinion that holds it's a hefsek. We hold halacha that it's not. But according to the first opinion, that you have to make another bracha. Why is that? Dehava hesach hadas. Those two words are absolutely crucial. As we just said before, whenever we want to work out whether or not something is considered a hefsek, what do we always have to ask ourselves? Was there hesach hadas? Did he remove his das or not? V'hochi amrinon b'peregimol d'manachos. This is the same Gemara that Rashi quoted. Soch bein tefillin letefillin. If you spoke between one tefillin and the second sarach levorach, you have to make a new bracha, because really, the bracha you make over the shel yad takes effect over the shel rosh as well. But if you spoke in the middle, that's it. You killed off the bracha, you masiach das. V'chein halacha. And so too the halacha is imsoch bein birkas hamoitzi la'achila. What happens if you spoke between the bracha of hamoitzi and the eating? That's the Gemara that we're speaking about. Therefore, there's no difference whether you spoke in between two tefillin or you spoke in between the bracha and the eating of the bread. V'chein, a third example, says Tosfos, birkas kiddush l'shtia. If you made a bracha over kiddush and you haven't yet drunk, and then you spoke, in all those three examples, sarich lachzer ulavarech. You have to go and repeat your bracha, ilav. If not, unless it is a milsa. What does milsa mean? It's a matter de shaycha l'suda, which is shaykh, which is connected to the Suda, like the example of the Gemara. K'moi toil baruch. Like in the case of toil baruch. Toil baruch, when I say to my friend here, take a piece of bread, I'm not talking about unrelated subjects. I'm talking about the subject that we're all busy with, i.e. eating the bread. But because that's called shaykh l'suda, even though he spoke, the lemaisa, it will not be considered a hefsek. Fine. V'chein b'shchita, same halacha would apply with regard to shchita. Tzarich lachzer ulevarich. If you spoke in between one shchita and another, then what would be the halacha? Then you've got to make another bracha. Ilav again, unless it is mimilsa de shchita, unless it is something which relates to the shchita. Will be an example. K'moi ha'oid yoser behemois v'tarnagolim lishchot, quote unquote, five words. How does that translate?
There are more animals or birds to kill.
Are there any more animals or birds to shecht? Now, if you speak like that, that's not an unrelated subject. That's related to the mitzvah that you're dealing with. That's not hesach hadas. Or, for example, sheyoma, or you would say the following, quote unquote, achoyz heitev. What does that mean, achoyz heitev?
Hold
on well to the animal. Sheloy yishomit lecha, so that it shouldn't slip. Sheloy tiposel hashchita, so that the shchita shouldn't become possible. We know that there are very, very strict halachas as to how we have to shech the animal, and if it moves about, that could bring about psul. So if he says, if he makes a bracha, then he says, hey, be careful, can you just secure the animal so that it doesn't slip? That's not considered a hefsek. Why not?
It's part of the shchita.
Because that's shaykh to the shchita. And so in that case, says Tosfos, ein zu hafsoka, period. That's not considered a hafsoka. Fine. Now, says Tosfos, a side point. Va'onu, ein onu regilim, we do not have the custom, lahavi ala shulchan, to bring to the table, loy melach, veloy lifton. We don't bring salt or spices. Why not? Mishum de pas shalonu choshuv. Because our bread is clean and prominent. Remember, we saw that in the Gemara already. The Gemara brought an example of where he did not dip the bread in salt. And he said, yeah, because this bread is okay. That's what Taisa says. Ki hodom abasamuch. Just like we said later on, quote unquote, les dein tzarech b'sheish. This bread does not need to be weighted. W-A-I-T. You do not need to wait at all. You could just make the bracha and eat it straight away without dipping in salt. Says Tosfos in conclusion, Miu Rebbe Menachem, Hoye Medakdek Ma'oid Lahavi Melach Ala Shulchan. Rebbe Menachem was Medakdek, he was indeed particular, very particular Ma'oid, to bring Melach to the Shulchan. Now, why would he do that? If the whole reason why you have to bring Melach is to dip it because the bread doesn't taste nice, it's not covered for the bracha, but our bread does taste nice. So he says, no, for a completely different reason. K'di'isa b'medrash. As it is stated in the Medrash, and it says there as follows. K'shi Yisrael yoishvin ala shulchan. When Jewish people sit down by the table, ummamtinim ze'ezeh, and they're all waiting for each other, ad she'yitlu yideihem, until they wash your hands. Right, you have 10 people around the table, you go and wash your hands. Now, once you sit down, there's not much you could do.
Can't do any
mitzvahs. You can't talk because you're waiting for everybody else to wash their hands. In which case, ummamtinim ze'ezeh, they're waiting for each other, ad she'yitlu yideihem, until they should all wash their hands. V'heim b'loy mitzvahis. So for those number of seconds, they are totally devoid of mitzvahs. Is hasotam mekatreig aleihem. What does it mean, mekatreig aleihem? So the sotan accuses. The sotan has found his great moment. And he says, look, Klal Yisrael are not doing mitzvahs. So we have the bris melach Megin Aleihem. The bris, the covenant that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made over the salt, will protect them, will protect Klal Yisrael. Which bris of Melech is this referring to? So firstly, the Torah says that on all karbonos you have to put Melech. But what's very special about salt, we once mentioned this in the past, salt is mined from seawater. That's where it's extracted from. Therefore, Chazal tell us that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, the whole world was full of water. And then the water got split into two. The Mayim Tachtoinim, the Mayim Elyoinim. So it says in the Medrash that the Mayim HaTachtoinim complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not fair. the Maimer Yoinim up in Shemayim with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, why are we stuck down here with mankind? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worry, you'll have your special moments as well. What are they? Nisuch HaMayim. That's when we discuss it, when we discuss Nisuch HaMayim at great length. We did Sukkah. And it says, you have Nisuch HaMayim and the Simchas Beis HaSheva. That's the bris that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made with the Melech. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a special covenant with the Melech, because Melech comes from seawater. So a fascinating medrash. Klal Yisrael are sitting at the table, devoid of any mitzvahs because they're just waiting idly for their friends to wash their hands, therefore we have salt at the table. Which would therefore explain why even nowadays, where our bread is absolutely fine, it doesn't need to have any salt added to it taste-wise, meaning there's no problem of bizoyin to the brocha. It's a bizoyin to the brocha, it's not a bizoyin to the brocha. The bread tastes just fine. The answer is, you're right, but we have a new reason, and that is Rabbeinu Menachem's. Okay.
And back to the first part of the Tosfos.
Yes.
My question, I guess, from the other day. To go back to the situation of feeding the animals. Based on what Tosfos is saying, unless there's a shaykhus to the mitzvah itself,
but this does,
then you consider it as a hashadas.
This is, because it's an issa.
That's still considered...
Right, that's the chiddush of its gemara. Because it's an issa, it's a chiddush. Because it's a issa to eat without, therefore, melech is considered a... Very important to know, for example, what would be, theoretically, if you're in the middle of Shemona Esra? You're not allowed to talk in the middle of Shemona Esra. What would be, if you're davening, and, for example, some shayla arises in the middle of davening? You're not sure if you said the same bracha. You have a question about Yalav Yovel. And you simply don't know what to do. Are you allowed to ask somebody?
I'd say yes.
Yes. 100%. Again, you're not Masiach Das, not Mafsik. You can't ask somebody, excuse me, do you know what time the next bus is to Yerushalayim? That's nothing to Shmoneh Esra. But if you say to him, I'm not sure what's the halacha if you miss out Yalav Yova in Rosh Chodesh, that's meaning.
That question could have been asked after Shimon Ezra.
No, let's say not. You know that there could be, you have to go back to Ritzay, could be you have to repeat Shimon Ezra, so I can't continue saying davening, I might be saying brachos of Hatolas now.
Okay.
If the halacha, for example, is I've got to go back to the beginning of Shimon Ezra, or David. Okay. If the halacha, for example, is that you've got to stop immediately where you are and go back, then I'm not allowed to continue. Every word of continuation is you saying Hashem's name in vain. It's a we brachos levatol, etc., etc. But I don't know the halacha. I'm stuck. I need to ask somebody who does know. We can. More than that, let's say I don't need to ask somebody, but I know a certain sefer where I could look up the shayla. You could do that as well. You're davening in the front of the shul. You could go to the back of the shul to have a look in the mishnah. Now I'll tell you a classic shayla. Which I think we want to look at. It's a complicated issue. One has to be very, very careful with this. This could be a very, very common scenario. Imagine you invite guests over for Friday night. Now, for Lecha Mishnah, there's two ways of doing it. Either the Balabais will make Lecha Mishnah, make a bracha for everybody, or he gives the guests, he says, listen, if you like to make your own Lecha Mishnah, fine, here your challahs as well. So imagine your guest says, yes, I have a special thing, I always like to make my own Kiddush, my own Lecha Mishnah, fine, no problem, great, it's a pleasure. Okay. So you go first as the Balabais. So you say, Yohamayt Se Lecha Mina Aretz, everybody says, Amen. And you're busy cutting the challah, and you're about to distribute it now to all the members of your family. It takes a minute or two to do so. Meanwhile, your guests...
You've eaten or no?
I've eaten my challah,
okay. But
my people, my wife hasn't. Okay. My children haven't. Fine. Meanwhile, I motion to the guests. I say, please, go ahead. You make your... So he says in a loud voice, and my wife says, Amen.
Mm. is it?
Now, the first omein that she said is obviously not a hefsek. That's the omein to the brocha that is mitziha. When she eats the slice of bread, she doesn't make a brocha mitzi lechem and aretz. Why not? Because I made a brocha and I was a mitziha. So obviously she has to say omein. But what's she busy answering omein to somebody else's brocha, which has zero shaychus to her brocha and her eating? So what would you do now? Very, very, very common shayla. It's so common that it's almost inevitable it will happen. Because naturally, here somebody says, "Omeitzu lechem aretz," or "Bere pri agofen." What do? You naturally answer omein. Now, there could be a difference between kiddush and hamoitzi. Why might there be a difference between kiddush and hamoitzi? The answer is as follows. When it comes to kiddush, for example, on a Friday night, it's true that the custom is that the Baal HaBayis makes the kiddush and then he distributes his kiddush to everybody. But you don't have to do that. There is no chiyuv essentially for everybody to drink the wine. As long as the person who made kiddush, or in theory at least one other person, drank the kos, that's it. So therefore, in theory, if your wife said omein to your bracha ber pri agofen, and before she drank wine, she answered omein to somebody else's bracha, fine, so she won't drink wine. Not the end of the world. So she won't drink wine. She's not mechuyev to drink wine. Not mechuyev. Shibura says it's a mitzvah and a mufcha, it's a hidur mitzvah, but there's no chiyuv to drink the wine. But amoytzi lechem and aretz, you are mechuyev. You have to eat a suda, you've just got to wash your hands. So you're going to have to eat the piece of bread. And you answered omein to the Baal HaBayis, and that was fine, to her husband. But the second omein could be highly problematic. And then my uncle told me, Rav Yom Tov Zanger, years and years and years ago, he was eating a suda together with a cousin of ours. In Eretz Yisrael, there was a huge, huge Talmud Chacham, absolutely colossal Talmud Chacham, tragically passed away a few years ago. His name was Ravrom Genachovsky. And my uncle was eating a Friday night meal, my uncle and his wife, Rav Avrom and his wife, and Rav Avrom Genachovsky, his elderly mother-in-law. Who's a cousin of my grandmother, and that's how we're related to him. And this shaila happened. One of them made hamoitzi, and then the other one made hamoitzi, and then they all answered amen. And there was a ganze balagan what to do. Rom Genachovsky is absolute goyin adi. He brought proofs from all over Kalatera Kula, right, proofs one direction, brought proofs the opposite direction, whatever. In the end, he had some eitzah right. You see, he suggested that what they should do, they should all leave the table and leave the house, and that way it's definitely considered the hesach hadas, and you come back. To which his elderly mother-in-law says, "You could do what you like. I'm staying here." That's a big problem, because if you have some of the people staying there, then it considers.
Was that before she made the
chalon? Yeah. So I'm not sure what happened at the end. But al kaponim, it's a very common shayla.
Al netilas shadayim.
Then you do say omein.
I wash.
Yeah, you say all the omeins you like. Any bracha.
If someone else says it out loud, I can say omein.
Once, if you've dried your hands.
Right.
Once
so I've finished the mitzvah.
You've washed your hands. You made your bracha. You dried your hands. This is very, very common. Then the next person in the queue every week. So then you do say omein. And if you come to the table and let's say the guest says kiddush or hamoitzi, you say omein. That's no problem. But once he's made his bracha to hamoitzi you and you're about to eat your challah, you shouldn't say omein. And if you do, it's a balagan. A whole balagan. Very, 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 very complicated shape. Kids, as we mentioned, the halachas of hefsek, as you can imagine, is a huge, huge subject, because it basically applies to every mitzvah, and every mitzvah has its rules and the exceptions to the rule. A very, very complicated topic. My father-in-law once went to a kiddush on Shabbos morning. And he sat down and said, would you like to make Kiddush, Mr. Tala? Fine, okay. So he took a bottle and he poured a whole full cup. Shomer ben Yisrael, Shabbos, Tazoy, Shabbos, the whole Kiddush. Savri, Brochotosh, Rechom, Boire, Pragofen. Took the cup, started knocking it back, and he realized they put in cherry brandy by mistake. A full cup of cherry brandy. Wasn't wine at all.
Until the chef.
Oh. And until he sort of cut what was going on, he knocked back about 3/4 of a cup of cherry brandy. Now what do you do? Can you quickly take another cup of wine and drink that? Or have you just made a heschadas because you started drinking something else? I'm not sure if he was in a fit state to make any bracha after that. Or to walk home for that matter.
Oh my.
Okay. Zot the Gemara. Okay, now the rest of the Gemara, all the way to the Mishnah, is very, very straightforward. Gemara, we can do it very quickly. Thoroughly, but quickly. So we have to ask ourselves, why does it say Va'oma?
He also said this.
As well as the previous line. Because you look in the previous Gemara, it says Omar Rava Bashmul. So very often we've seen this in the past. The Gemara sometimes does this. That if we mention a particular Amoira, then we'll say other sayings in his name, even though it's got absolutely nothing to do with the first statement. V'omar Rabba Bashmo, Mishum Rabbi Chiya. Ein mei raglaim kolim. Did I miss out something?
No.
Okay. Yeah.
I was on the one.
Ein mei raglaim kolim elo b'yeshiva. What does that mean? Says Rashi. Ein mei raglaim kolim. Somebody has to go to the bathroom to relieve himself. So Rashi, Ein Meiraglaim Kolim Min Haguf. The Meiraglaim will not be finished from the Guf, will not be completely relieved from the Guf. Elo B'Yeshiva, unless he is sitting down. Why? Lafi, because otherwise, if he's standing up, Shekesha HaKiluach. What does Kiluach mean? The drops or the jet. Koroiv lepisuk, when it is close to ending, what happens? Hu doyeg, he worries, shelo yiplu nitzoitzoitz al raglov. He's worried that no drops should fall on his feet, and therefore umafsik, and he stops, he holds himself back. If a person is seated, so therefore this concern doesn't hold true, it doesn't apply. But if a person is standing, he's worried that the last few drops, as the kiluach, as it were, loses motion, will drop on his feet. So therefore, what does he do? He holds himself back, in which case he never really relieves himself properly. By the way, this halacha is mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. These halachas are mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. Says the Gemara, Omer of Kahana, Uba Ofar Tichoyach, with soft earth, then afilu ba'amida. What does that mean?
If he's urinated on soft earth, it's not going to bounce back. It'll be absorbed.
Says Rashi, lekan itzaitzais. If it's soft earth, then whatever is discharged from the goof will be absorbed by the ground. Therefore, there's nothing to be concerned about that it will splash back. So then, he can stand up as well. That's what it means. Says Rashi. Now, what do you do? What happens if there is no soft earth? The only place you can find is where there's just a stone floor. So then we have this concern. He can't sit because there's nothing perhaps available to sit on. And if he stands, then he won't discharge properly. So he says, Yamoid b'mokoim govoya. So we should stand on a high place, v'yashdin, and he should relieve himself l'mokoim medrain. A medrain is a slope. So if it's sloping, then even if it splashes, but it won't splash back up the hill. If anything, it'll splash down the hill, and that way you avoid this. Again, achar kol achilascha, after all your eating, achol melach. Shlomo Moshe Zelig, I'll be interested to hear your opinions on this. It's giving you a medical piece of advice. After you eat, you should eat salt. Va'acha kol shtiyoscha, and after all drinking, it makes no difference what you drank, shasei mayim. Top it up with water at the end. And that way, ve'i ato nizek. That way you will not be harmed. Very healthy thing to do. Tanya nami hochi, indeed, we've learned this in the Brice, and it says there, acha kol achiloscha, achol melech, va'acha kol shtiyoscha, shasei mayim, ve'i ato nizek. Tanya Idach, we have another braisa that says it's slightly different. Ochal kol meichel, if you ate any food, v'loy ochal melach, but you did not top it up with salt at the end, or shosa kol mashkin v'loy shosa mayim, then you know what will happen to you. B'yoyim, if this is happening at daytime, yidag, you should be concerned, min reach haper, it will bring about an unpleasant odor in his mouth. And if it's at night, ubalaylo, yidag mipnei askara, he should be concerned with askara. I think the correct translation of askara is croup. But whatever, very, very severe stomach condition. So,
croup is a breathing condition.
It's a breathing condition?
Yeah, I think we translate it as diphtheria. So somewhere diphtheria? We saw diphtheria on this.
What's diphtheria?
It's a throat infection.
Okay.
Gastrointestinal.
So either way, the first price puts it in the positive and says you should eat this and you won't be harmed. The second braisa is saying in the negative, if you don't do it, you will be harmed. Either reach ra or askar. Ton rabbonon hamakpe achilosoi b'mayim. What does it mean, hamakpe, says Rashi? Hamakpe achilos mayim. Shoise mayim harbe. If he drinks a lot of water, achilose. Now, makpe literally means to float. So Rashi explains, if you drink a lot of water after you've eaten, add so much so sha'achilosoi sofo b'mayim, so that everything you've eaten is, as it were, floating in water, because, as it were, your guf has just imbibed a lot of water. Therefore, all the food in your stomach will now be floating in water. Says Rashi, Vayotsef Barazel Metargaminon Vakofa Barazelos. So you see the Vayotsef floating is translated as Kofa, which is the same word as a Makpi. So if you do that, says the Gemara, that's a very healthy thing. Hamakfe Achilos Vemaim Einoi Bo Lide Choli Meayim. You will not come to any stomach illnesses. Says the Gemara Vakamo. How much? It doesn't say how much water you should drink. Amar Rav Chista, kitoin lepas. Kitoin is a cupful or a flask for every bread, for each loaf. So it's a cupful of water per loaf. If you have two loaves, you should have two cupfuls. Three. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Meri, Amar Rav Yechanon. Harogil ba'adoshim. If somebody frequently has lentils, achas l'shleishim yoim, once in 30 days, moineya askara mitech beisei. He will prevent askara from any member of his household. I will call yoima lo, but not every day. It's a good thing in moderation. Once in 30 days is fine, but not every day. My timer. Why not? Mishum de kasha lechulsha de libo, because it is severe for weakness of the heart. If you have lentils every day, it can bring about a weakness or an attack to the heart. Once in 30 days is a very healthy thing. Omar Rav Chiya Ba'ashi, Omar Rav Harogil Bedogim.
We missed.
Did I miss out something?
Yeah. So back in my time, Mishum de Kasha the Reh HaPeh. There were two cases.
I'm sorry, I missed that line. I will call you Maloy my time Mishum de Kasha the Reh HaPeh. Sorry. Because if you have lentils every day, then it is kosher, it is severe with regard to an unpleasant taste in the mouth. V'omer of Mary, Omer of Yechanon, same thing, harogil b'charadol. What's charadol?
Mustard.
Achas l'shleishim yoyim, if you have it once in 30 days, that's a good thing. Why? Meineach aloy mitoich beisoy, that will prevent any sickness from his house. I will call you Maloy, my time is from the kosher l'chul shad libo. So lentils, we said, can bring about, if you have it too often, a bad reach apeh. Whereas mustard will bring about weak heart. Omer Rav Chiya Ba'ashi, Omer Rav Harogil Bedogim Ketanim. If somebody frequently has small fish, Einoi Bo Lidei Chole Me'ayim, then he will not come to have a stomach disease. So this is the second piece of Eitzah advice. If somebody wants to avoid any gastro conditions, either he should have a lot of water at the end of the meal, or he should eat a lot of small fish. Not only that, not only does fish present stomach disease, Elo shedogim ktanim, small fish, mafrin umarbin, umavrin kol gufo shel odom. Mafrin umarbin is from the Lashon pruruhu. It helps a person have children. Umavrin kol gufo, and it strengthens the whole guf of a person. So having small fish seems like a very healthy thing generally for several reasons. Omer Rav Chama bar Rav Chanina harogil beketzach. What's ketzach? Says Rashi, Rabbi Yisein Mephoreshim. Oh, I missed out of Rashi. Meinea askara she'achayli bo machmas atzor b'nei me'ayim. Because askara comes through congestion. Atzor means to stop. So it's stopped up, it's congested. So that's how askara comes about, as a result of stomach indigestion or congestion. Therefore, v'ha'adoshim meshalshalim, whereas the lentils will cause it to flow out. And therefore, that's why it's very healthy to make sure that no askara will be contracted. Says Rashi Ketzach, Rabbi Seinu Meforshim Naila Belaz, Aval Ani Shomati Min Zroim, it's a certain type of seed, Shazirin Oisei Be'eretz Yishmol, which they plant in Arab countries. So it's some sort of seed. So this ketzach, what's the halacha with the ketzach? Says the Gemara, Horogil beketzach einoi bo lidei ke'ev leiv. If somebody has this plant regularly, he will not come to any heart pain. Meisveir, Shimon Gamliel oime, ketzach, echad mishishim samonei amovesum, is one in 60 of poisonous. So it doesn't sound very complimentary. We just said that ketzach is a very healthy thing. Why? Because it will make sure you don't have pain in the heart. And it says, it sounds like it's a very dangerous thing. And not only that, v'hayoshein lemizrach goronoi, and if somebody sleeps on the eastern side of the ketzach goiren, domoi beroishoi, his blood over his head is extremely dangerous, says Rashi. Lemizrach goronoi shel ketzei sheruach ma'arovis, Ruach Leicha, sorry, Shal Ketzach, Shal Ruach Marovis, a westerly wind Ruach Lecho is a damp wind. Sunosohi. I'm not sure what that means. Umachneses Hareach b'toicha guf. And the Ruach enters the guf, and that's why it's very dangerous. So it doesn't seem to be clear, therefore this Ketzach is a healthy thing or an unhealthy thing. So the Gemara says, Loi kasha. It's not at all difficult. Ho bereichoi, ho betamoi. It's Rashi. Ho reach is kasha, bevahatam is toiv. Don't smell it, but taste it. When we said if you have Ketzach, it will help you. Yes, the tasting will help you, but you have to avoid the smell. The smell is dangerous. So how do you do that? So the Gemara says, Imed Rabbi Yirmiyah, the mother of Rabbi Yirmiyah, Afyalei Rivta, she used to bake him bread. Umadbeka Lei, and she used to attach to it, she stick onto it, what?
Ketzach.
This Ketzach, but Umakal Falei, she would scrape it off. So why did she do that? So on the one hand, she wanted to, the bread should have the taste, but she scraped it off in order that it shouldn't have the
smell.
Says Rashi. Mad Bekelei Beriftad Shekola Tatam. She stuck it on in order that it should be koilet, it should trap the taste. But Makal Falei Bishul HaReach. She then scraped it off because of the smell. Okay, pretty straightforward Gemara. We're going to hold it over here on Thursday, Beis Hashem. We'll continue till the Mishnah, and then we'll continue the next Mishnah as well. I would like, if I can, by the end of Zman, if we can, to reach the next Mishnah plus a Chazara. We don't have very many days left. We have Thursday. We don't have Sunday, it's Erev Rosh Hashanah. We don't have Tuesday, we have the next Thursday. So we have Thursday, and Sunday. So we have three more. So if we can get to the Mishnah in two shots, and then the last time do a Chazara, that'll be a good thing. Okay, Shkoyach everybody.